I'd like to talk to you the subject today about after salvation. What happens after salvation? This is a very important subject, and I want you to get your Bibles out and prepared for a study so that you can turn and follow me along. You'll learn a lot more when you have your Bible open and studying with me. I think it will make a tremendous difference for you. After salvation, this means after you believe the gospel. This is salvation for the church today. After you believe the gospel, and we're going to go through what the gospel is so we know exactly what I'm talking about. Turn into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the most important verse in the Bible. You've heard me say before probably, but I believe it, and this is salvation. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, it's the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and by which you stand." Paul has already taught this to 1 Corinthians, and they already stood on the gospel. And then it says, "by which also you are saved." So this is a salvation message. This is what you need to know if you're saved. "By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." This is important. This isn't the head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You've got to truly believe this gospel for your salvation. He says, "I delivered to you first of all, which I also received." He received this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 1:11. You can look that up. "And Christ," that here it is, "that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again for your salvation, this is salvation for you. And as soon as you believe that, let's see what happens. This is after the gospel. You believe the gospel. Let's turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. Go back to your right. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're looking at, let's start off with verse 12. "But we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ," who first trusted in Christ, "in whom also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth." What's the word of truth? The next two words. The gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation. "In whom after you believed." Believed what? The gospel of your salvation. "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You were given the Holy Spirit. It was sealed in you. You see, the world doesn't understand this. And even there's no power in any rules and regulations. Moses set out the Ten Commandments, and they were perfect as far as God was concerned. But the people couldn't keep them. They were just condemned by them. They couldn't keep them. And we found out that the Jews had over 600 laws. 600 laws they were trying to keep them, to be able to guide them closer to God. But none of them worked. And so when God brought out this new church, He decided, when you believe that He died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose from the dead, He was going to give you power. And this power that He's going to give you so that you can live on this earth is the Holy Spirit. This is the third part of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sealed in you. That is a tremendous advantage. It makes all the difference in the world. And most people don't have the Holy Spirit. They say they're Christians, but they have problems. Lots of problems. Well, not to say that we don't have problems once we're sealed, but we've got God living in us to help us and direct us in our walk on this earth. He will guide you the way you need to go. He'll point you. He'll direct you, help you with all the problems that you've had in the world. You can walk away from them because God is in you and working in you. And that's power. And most people don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look on verse 14. We'll find out what else happens after you believe the gospel. See, you don't get the Holy Spirit until you believe the gospel. Okay, 14 it says, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory? He is the earnest of our inheritance. As soon as we are believers, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, God has put down an earnest, like earnest money, on our inheritance. In other words, we have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. It's beyond our imagination, and this seals it for us. He already, this is the down payment when we have the Holy Spirit in us, the down payment for our inheritance. And it's just really fantastic. While we're here in Ephesians, just look over here at Ephesians chapter 2. Just real close right there, right next to you. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. There's something else that happened to you when you believe the gospel, and you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were made alive. You see, the world today, you don't know it, they're walking dead. They're totally walking dead as far as God is concerned. But the second you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you're made alive, and you're never going to die. Oh, sure, the old body's going to die, but it's going to be resurrected. We're going to talk about that pretty soon. But you've been made alive. Let's look at verses 5. Let's see what it says. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By the grace you are saved. For by the grace we're saved. Through this believing the gospel, we're saved by the grace of God, and he's made us alive. You look at 2:6-7, what it says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's hard to understand, because we don't understand that. But all we know is we're going to be totally with the Lord, and he's going to be with us, and it's going to be wonderful to know him. Of course, we look at 2:8-9, just go to 8 right here. It says, for the grace you are saved through faith. Faith in what? His gospel. We believe that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and rose again, and we have that faith in that, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing you can do yourself to be saved except believe the gospel. It is the gift of God. As soon as you believe the gospel, he gives you total eternal life. It's a gift to God, not of works, not of any works that you did yourself. Nothing. You can do nothing. You add nothing to the gospel. You are saved by the gospel. Not gospel plus baptism. Not gospel plus speaking in tongues. Not gospel plus joining a church. That's works. We are saved. It's not of works whatsoever. We just believe the gospel. Least anyone should boast. You see, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to walk around and tell you how he got there. Because everybody knows how he got there. Because they believed the gospel. They believed Jesus, and he was saved by his grace. It was nothing we did whatsoever except believe the gospel. And our total focal point won't be on ourselves. Don't be no I in heaven. It'll be totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time that will be. Let's look into Colossians chapter 2. We're in Ephesians. We're going to go to the right. We're going to go Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And let's see what it has there. At Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 13. It says, 13, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13. He says, and you, being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He didn't say some. He didn't say just the bad ones or just the good ones. He said all your trespasses, every one of them. Think about that. Think how wonderful that we know that Those are all behind us now, and God has forgiven us of, because we believe the gospel. Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back to the left and not very far. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. And what do we have here? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we are, because we're saved. We're saved. We're in Christ. And Christ is in us. He said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've just been made alive. We're a total new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. What are you telling us? You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care if you're alcoholic. I don't care if you're hooked on pornography. I don't care if you're a liar. I don't care what you are. But when that Holy Spirit comes into you, He's going to work with you on these things that you have problems with in your life. He takes you just like you are. You don't have to clean up your life to become a believer. All you have to do is become a believer and let God clean up your life. And He will. That Holy Spirit will lead you, point you another way. He'll lead you away from those things that have caused all those problems in your life. And pretty soon they just will be something in the past, totally in the past, and you'll become a new creation. Think how wonderful that is, because we have the power of God living in us now. It makes all the difference in the world for our walk. If we got into it, we could go over into Galatians chapter 5, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, of all the things that God is doing for us and working in our lives. It's just beyond our imaginations. We become a whole new creation. And we'll go on down a little further with this. Let's look at verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, and hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, He's drawn us away from these old sins in our life, and He's reconciled us to God. We're totally, our whole attitude, our whole thoughts, everything is going to change because we're going to be reconciled to Christ. It says, to wit that God is, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto itself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's drawn us closer and closer to God. And when He does that, guess what happens? Look at verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, and that we're made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, because of that Holy Spirit in us, He can do things that we can't comprehend. He forgives us. He draws us closer to God each and day. We're reconciled to Him, and then we can become ambassadors. And that's the first thing you'll want to do when you believe the gospel and you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll want to tell your family. You don't want any of your families to die and not go to heaven. And you'll be talking to them about this. You'll be talking to your friends. You'll be talking to everybody you can, pointing out the gospel to them. And that's why we study this word, so that we can do that. Open up the book and show them what the book says. Not what we say, what the book says. It makes all the difference in the world. Let's turn to Colossians again. Go back to Colossians. Go back to the right. Go back to the right, and we're going to see Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians, and then Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 21. This is just neat as can be. Verse 21. This is Colossians chapter 1, verses 21. And it says, and you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Think about that. And it's hard to comprehend. Here we are. He picks us when we're sinners, we've got problems in our life, but he's going to make us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. When we're standing right in face to face, he's not going to be blaming us for anything or reproving us for anything. We're unreprovable in his sight. But of course, there's the if there. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of what? The gospel. The gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached on every creature, and is under heaven, and which I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel. This is something you never, ever forget, that your salvation is based on. The gospel. It's just beyond our imagination. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Go back to the left. Romans is my favorite book. And then chapter 8 is my favorite chapter. Romans chapter 8. You remember we just talked about as soon as you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with it. Now let's look what happens when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. What he's saying is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. And when you die, you can be assured that that same Spirit is going to raise your mortal bodies at the resurrection. Think about that. If I die before the rapture, before God comes and takes this body of Christ home, that's the rapture. That's who He's going to take home, the body of Christ, no one else. And only if people in the body of Christ are those that are believe the gospel. They're the only people that's going to be there. But if you have died beforehand, when your soul and spirit will be in heaven, He'll come back with your soul and spirit. God will bring it with you. And then your new body will raise first. Out of the grave. You'll be the first one to come out of that grave. And you'll receive your soul and spirit in a new body like Jesus' glorified body. Think about that. How wonderful that is. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to raise you from the dead. Let's go on and look in verses 14 and see what else happens to us. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bear witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. It's hard to even comprehend. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Colossians again. Go back to the right through Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, and Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 15. This is just tremendously important. Think about, now, what we're talking about, we're heirs with Jesus Christ. This tells you who Jesus Christ really is. Verse 15, it says, who, and we're talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Of course, you understand that Jesus Christ, it was the name for the Son of God. So we're talking about the Son of God. He was the Son of God that walked on this earth, but His name, earthly name, was Jesus. We'll always keep call Him Christ or Jesus, but He was the Son of God. That's one of many, many, many names that He's had. and will have. But he was the Son of God, and he was Christ. And for by him were all things created, and that are in heaven, that are on earth, that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Think about that. And we're co-heirs with him. Co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if somebody came up to me today and said, Al, I'll give you $1 billion if you'll turn away from the gospel. If you just forget. I'd have to just tell him, you know, sir, I said, your $1 billion is a lot of money, but it's not worth one penny compared to what my inheritance will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about it. Besides that, I'm an old man. I don't have many years left. Maybe 10 if I'd be lucky. Maybe 10 if I would be lucky. And you mean to tell me that I'm going to throw away eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ forever, for eternity, and change it into the lake of fire? Because that's where I'd go if I didn't believe the gospel. Be in the lake of fire for the rest of for eternity. Not my life, for eternity. How long is eternity? As long as God lives. No, it's a lot of money, I'd say, but it's nothing compared to what God has given us. We're co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. For eternity. That's just, it just blows my imagination. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, back to the left again. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to talk about another thing that happens the second we believe the gospel. Another thing that happens is tremendously important. You see, when Jesus, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was on this earth for 40 days. And when he was seen by over 500 people, plus the disciples, and he walked over. It was a historical event. A historian by the name of Josephus actually wrote in Roman history that Christ did die on the cross, and that he was buried, and he did raise from the dead. And he reported this. It's history, just like we know that George Washington was our president. We'd never seen him before. We never knew anybody that did see him before. Only reason why we believe it is history. Well, not only do we have the Bible, but we have history with Jesus that he actually did raise from the dead. But when he did, he set aside, because the Jews had totally turned their back on him, he set aside Israel, totally set them aside. In Romans chapter 11, it talks about it in two different verses. They were set aside, and he's going to call out a whole new church, totally set aside from Judaism, a total different dispensation. And this was going to be called the body of Christ. The body of Christ, and Christ was going to be ahead of it. Jesus was the head of the body of Christ. And this was what he was calling out, and this is what we become a member of as soon as we believe the gospel. And nobody belongs to the body of Christ unless you believe the gospel. It says in verses 13, it says, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Greeks, whether we bond or free, we're all made to drink into one Spirit. We're all going to be called, it's going to be the body of Christ, and this body is going to be made up of many different people and with different talents and different things. But every one of us is going to be made up of preachers, and it's going to be evangelists, it's going to be of teachers, it's going to be of people who care about it, people that go see people at the nursing homes, people that go to see people in the jails, people that take care of their neighbors and love their neighbors, and people that are just showing the gospel to everybody they can. It's going to be made up of all kinds of people that show love and show caring and show benevolence, people who can give. All these people are made up of the body of Christ, and there's not one of those persons that is any less important than anyone else. We're all the body of Christ, and it's made up of all races of people in the world. There'll be Chinese, there'll be Japanese, there'll be Russians, there'll be Africans, South Americans, Canadians. They're going to be made up of every person in this world who believes the gospel. And they're totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. That He died on that cross. We believe it. We believe it. He died for our sins, that He was buried and rose from the dead. This is the body of Christ that God's called out. This is the body of Christ that He's going to come back and take. And it's made up mainly of Gentiles. Yes, it is. There's very few Jews in the body of Christ. You see, when we talk about people, we're talking about either the Gentiles, that's everybody other than a Jew. And so, but the Jew themselves, there are Jews in the body of Christ. Yes, there are. But there's not that many. You see, most Jews actually rejected Jesus totally, and they sure wouldn't accept Him today as our Savior, as because of believing the gospel. But some have. But only people in the body of Christ is going to be raptured out of this earth. There's going to be literally thousands of churches having church on Sunday, and if the rapture came, nothing would happen because they do not believe in the gospel. They believe in the gospel, but not for their salvation. Not for their salvation. They believe that Jesus is their salvation. They believe that believing in Jesus, believing in that He will take Him into your heart and many other things. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we believe that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for Jesus, for what He did for us, that He died on that cross to pay for our sins. Without that, we know that we'd be lost and forever, because no one could go to heaven, because we'd be all in our sins. But He paid our sins, and all He asks us to do is believe it. And we just praise You, Lord, for what You've done for us. I pray that You open the eyes of everybody that I'm speaking to, the eyes and the ears, that they could hear and understand these things and become a member of the body of Christ. I pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.